You have your Bibles and you're able this morning, stand with me please in reverence to the Word of God. I'll try to be as brief as I can this morning and yet say what the Lord has put on our heart. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 4 of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul the apostle is writing to a church that had many problems with sin, with carnality. And I remember years ago going to Mexico on a mission trip, and the only word that I could pick up on that the man was speaking in the Spanish language was carnal. And the way that it came out was carnal. And every time he would say it in the sermon, I would realize he was preaching on carnality. He would say carnal. And myself and six other men from Liberty Baptist Church, we went to help in a mission, build a church, and help on the mission house on the Texas side. And we ate a lot that week at the Golden Corral in Laredo, Texas. Before we left that week, we changed the name. It was the Golden Carnal. Because every time we went there, Brother Larry, we got carnal. Amen. I could tell you some wonderful stories about that trip. One of our men already had cancer, and it took him about 2 days to realize that his wife had been talking to us, because we just shielded him, Brother Steve. We wouldn't hardly let him do anything. And he, after about 2 days, he said, "Y'all been talking to my wife, ain't you?" And he just wanted to go work. Amen. In his last days. Amen. Yes, go do something else for Jesus. Ain't that good? That's what we ought to want to do. Amen. Just not just to hobble across the finish line, but thank God be going across waving high that blood-stained banner. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not. A lot of people are going to faint this week. One way or the other, you mark my word, a lot of people are going to faint this week. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, ain't that good? Aren't you glad that there's a lot of folks this morning that have the same spirit of faith that we have? He said, according as written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May God bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated. Pray for us, please, and pray with us. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for nudging our hearts. Thank You for patriotism. Thank You for folks that refuse to forget what it cost that we could have this liberty, this freedom. Lord, freedom to worship, to assemble, freedom to preach the Word of God. Freedom, our Father, that comes not only, Lord, from our Constitution, but from the cross. Lord, You've set us free, and Lord, we're free indeed. Help us, Lord, never to take that freedom for granted, but Lord, Lord, be careful to guard it. Would You guide us, our Lord, as a people? Guide us as a nation, and God will give You glory for all that You do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I would like this morning to talk to you for a little while about the day after the election. One way or the other, some things are about to change. But what I'm going to concentrate on this morning are those things that are not going to change, that will still be the same for Bible Way Baptist Church, for the born-again believer, for those that love Jesus, for those that believe He's coming again soon, amen, the day after the election. Brother Gary, God was in your testimony this morning. I didn't need to tell you that. You already knew that. But the Lord, He works together, does He not? He works together. He works things together, amen. And He harmonizes in the hearts of God's people. I'm thinking this morning, the first thing I thought about this morning, and I don't know that I've ever thought about it exactly like this before, is our ministry. One thing this church has always been known for is ministry. Most of the time, if we're not careful, and I mean this, pastor included, when we think of ministry, we think of ministers. And when we think of ministers, that's narrowed down to preachers. But what God has put in my heart this morning when we're talking about the ministry the day after the election, beloved, goes much further than preaching. Preaching certainly is part of it, but there's so much more to ministry. And I'm going to try my best. Though the faces and the names are, they're implanted in my heart and in my mind. But I'm going to try my best not to mention names this morning, other than the name that's above every name, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus, that's put His love in our hearts and in our mind. But some of the things I thought about was a man riding a lawnmower and ministering. I thought about somebody laying up under a vehicle and ministering. I thought about somebody wearing some gloves and a mask and passing out some food to people that are homeless and they're ministering. I thought about the people, beloved, listen, and some of them have very little means, but they've been faithful to get a card from somewhere every week and sit down and jot down a few lines in a card and put a stamp on it and send it out. I'm telling you, it's a ministry. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that the text messages on the phone when you're trying to encourage someone and be there for someone and pray with someone, that's a ministry. Hallelujah, it's a ministry today, and it'll be a ministry the day after the election. A lot might change, amen. I thought about, beloved, listen, again, I'm trying to be careful, that I thought about the missionaries that you and I, we don't even know their names sometimes or where where they're going or what they're doing sometimes. We get snippets in the letters. But I want you to know, thank God, for years and years and years, this church has had a part in that gospel message going around the world. And thank God, the day after the election, we're still going to do it for the glory of God. A lot might change, but I tell you, I thank God that we have a ministry, beloved, that we can just go on, even, beloved, this morning, thinking about, listen, I don't know that in my life, we've been poor at times, but we've never had to wonder, will we have a turkey for Thanksgiving, or will we have the trimmings? We've never had to wonder. Amen. I'm telling you, God's been good to us. I thought about this, Brother John, a little while back. I've never been to a pawn shop to have to pawn something, to buy some gas, or to pay a bill. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just bragging on a God that's been good to me. God ministers to us. Why? That we might minister to others. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, there's people in this church that cannot wait to get back in the children's church, that cannot wait to get back in their vans, that cannot wait to get back in their Sunday school classes and do what God has put in their heart. I'm just telling you, there's more to ministry than a man standing behind a pulpit and preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you, beloved, that's just a small part of what God's doing before and after the election. God wants us to keep our eyes on that. Get involved in that. The happiest people in the world are the people that are involved in the greatest work on the face of the earth, and that is the work of God. Don't ever let the devil slip you that lie, beloved, that if you're not a teacher, you're not a singer, if you're not a preacher, you're nothing. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe that many of us in that day will take a back seat to those that just went into a prayer closet and prayed heaven down on us. Amen. Heaven down on our services. Heaven down on the people of God. Beloved, listen, the reason I believe, one of the reasons the Lord has dealt with me the way he's dealt with me, listen, I'm very concerned about the direction of our country. I do not apologize for telling you that I do not want America to be a socialist nation. I don't apologize for that. I mean, dear God, that experiment's already been tried. It don't work. How many times you have to try something, amen, to find out it don't work? Amen. I don't apologize for that. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. God is still on the throne. He's still in my heart. And the day after the election, I'm still going to be looking for somebody that I can help along the way. Amen. I thought about this yesterday. Sister Judy Brooks, we had her funeral there at the graveside down at Long's Bend Baptist Church. There was a slew of people there. I don't know how many. It shouldn't have shocked me, but it did shock me with COVID that many people would come out. What a great testimony, Sister Kathy, to the friends and neighbors and church that loved her. And a lady walked up to me, Brother Steve. I'm talking now about ministry. Brother Steve, we're human. Preachers like to see God do something every once in a while. Ain't that right? I looked back there this morning and saw Tammy. She was here Wednesday night. And what a joy that brings to my heart. I said, what a joy that brings to my heart. To see the new convert that's been saved recently by the grace of God, being faithful to the house of God. What a joy that brings to my heart. But here's what I want to tell you. In ministry, whether it's the pastor or the people, there'll always be things going on that we don't see. A lady walked up to me yesterday at the casket, and she said, Brother Vinoy, Judy invited me to church. She said, I came to your church years ago on a Sunday night, and I got under conviction. I didn't know it. She said, I was saved on Monday morning. I didn't know it. But you know what God said to me yesterday? I'm doing a whole lot of things you don't know. I want you to know, beloved, whatever you're doing for God, I promise you, God's doing a whole lot of things that you don't know. And we don't have to know. All we have to know is He put it in our heart. And one day after a while, we'll see what God has done because of ministry. Because of ministry. You know, there's a lot of leaves on the ground. Did y'all know that? I believe if people would open their eyes, they might see a ministry in a leaf rake. Don't be like that one guy that broke his arm raking leaves. He didn't wait on him to get out of the tree. Amen. Ministry. During this time, how many people could use someone to go to the grocery store? Someone to go to the pharmacy. Of course, the pharmacies nowadays, they're doing a great job. They're taking it out a lot of times and delivering it. Thank God for that. But I want you to know that if you open your eyes, there'll be a ministry somewhere that you can be involved in. Is anybody with me this morning? A ministry today, a ministry tomorrow, and a ministry the day after the election. God help us if we get the mully grubs and get to looking down when God wants us to be a looking up. And God wants us to be looking around for somebody else that we might help. Let me give you the second thing God put on my heart. That's the word mercy. The Bible said here, we preached this a little while back. I'm not going to say a lot about it. In the middle of it all, we tried to magnify the mercy of God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Somewhere, I promise you, this is the Lord's day. Somewhere, Brother D, around the world, the man of God will stand up and preach the Word of God. And somebody will walk down an old-fashioned aisle and say yes to the Lamb of God. They'll receive God's mercy. And I want you to know this, beloved, today God is merciful. Now, I can't promise you this, but the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth. But if God lets us live, are you listening to me? The day after the election, there'll be mercy. Because God is a merciful God. Now listen to me. Y'all might not believe this. J. Harold Smith used to preach a message entitled, God's Three Deadlines. But I believe with all of my heart, listen, you can be living and breathing and step across that deadline. You better take it seriously when God speaks to your heart. There's no guarantee, beloved, that you'll live to hear Him speak to your heart again. Thank God for mercy. The next thing the Lord wanted me to touch on is in verse number 2. If you'll look at the word here, the day after the election, the message turns a little bit negative right here. The Apostle Paul says, having renounced the hidden things, listen to me, of dishonesty. Y'all see that right there? Let me tell you something right now. In America and around the world, there are people that are dishonest. The election's not going to change that. As a matter of fact, the Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse. Now watch this now. Watch this. The Bible said here, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Listen to me carefully. Y'all going to love me for saying this. I just know you are. But have you ever noticed in politics how when one of them famous politicians dies, they drag out a Bible verse? Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me real carefully. You can drag out the Bible verse when the politician dies, but if you ain't willing to drag it out in Psalm 139 over killing the babies, you ought to leave it alone when the politician dies. You're handling the Word of God dishonestly. If you're not willing, beloved, to say that sodomy is an abomination in the sight of God, leave it alone. You're handling the Word of God dishonestly. I believe, beloved, listen, today, tomorrow, if God gives us tomorrow, definitely in the tribulation there'll be dishonesty. But the day after the election, there'll still be some dishonest people. Listen, I'm not going to try to be political this morning, but I dare you, as Sister Kim showed me that shirt on the blood drive, I triple dog dare you. Have you seen that picture yet? Is it on there? You gotta see it. They're giving out a shirt that says, I triple dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to find a man that's been the president of the United States that's come any closer to doing what he said he would do after he got in office. You find him and bring it to me. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it is refreshing to find somebody that will say something before they're elected and go do it after they're elected. That's refreshing to me. Amen? Dishonesty, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in pulpits across America. It's in isms and religions across America. Dishonesty. When people are being told, beloved, that there's another way to heaven, that preacher is being dishonest. The only truth will stand, and that is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. After the election, there's still going to be dishonesty. But you and I, beloved, listen, that know Jesus, we have a lot to be interested in the day after the election. People are afraid. They did if that poll is correct, over 70% of the people are concerned about violence after the election. If that poll is correct, just judging from what I've seen and what I've heard, that's probably pretty close. Two-thirds of the people in America. There's no other explanation, Brother Grizzle, for ammunition. You can't find it anywhere. So many new gun owners. I'm talking about millions of new gun owners. Amen. There's no other explanation than people are afraid the law enforcement can't be there for everybody. And in some cities, they can't be there for anybody. People are afraid. And I want you to know this. You and I, just remember this, don't need to be afraid. The Word of God said, perfect love casteth out fear. They broke in that evangelist's motel room. The guy stuck a pistol under his chin. And the evangelist said to him, you can't scare me with heaven. Where's that kind of faith today? You can't scare me with heaven. I'm telling you, we're God's people. The day after the election, yes, there'll still be dishonesty, but I promise you this, there'll still be honesty. The Apostle Paul was an honest man. The Apostle Paul didn't care, beloved. I don't know. I hear this expression from preachers, that bony little finger. I don't know if his finger was bony or not, but I know his words were sharp and they cut. And beloved, he told them not what they wanted to hear. He wasn't in the ear tickling business. He wasn't in the business of speaking with men's words of enticing wisdom, but under the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And it helped people to understand that it wasn't the word that needed to be changed, but it was their life that needed to be changed. Many people are trying to change the word to line up with their life. We need to change our life to line up with the Word. That's what the Scripture's teaching. Dishonesty. The third thing, we're back on a positive note now, and that's the gospel. Look in verse number 3, the Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know, I believe with all my heart, I've already voted. How many of you have already voted? How many of you are going to vote on Tuesday? Praise the Lord, amen. That's a bunch of you, both ways. That's good. I hope you raised your hand one of them. I wasn't paying real close attention. Amen. But I hope you raised your hand in one of them. Listen to me. I don't know about where you vote or what was going on, but where I voted, there was a lot of joy in the line. I was talking to ladies there around me. He said, why didn't you talk to the men? They wasn't none around me. I was talking to the ladies there around me. We was talking about where we went to church, talking about good things of the Lord. I didn't ask them who they was voting for, but I'm going to tell you something. I had a good idea. There's a happy side and a sad side. There's a positive side and a negative side. I just thank God, beloved, our gospel will still be the same the day after the election. Christ died for us. He was buried, and he rose again the third day so that we could have hope, a living hope, a lively hope, hope that's an anchor of the soul. If you drop down to verse number 8, the Apostle Paul said, we're troubled on every side. It doesn't matter who wins in the election. The day after the election, there's still going to be trouble. The Word of God said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But aren't you glad that God's people, listen, I'm speaking to God's people this morning. Aren't you glad we won't be alone? We might be cast down, but we're not forsaken. We might not be able to figure some things out, perplexed, the Word of God said here, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. I'll tell you, one of the greatest things you can do in a troublesome time in your life is carry your trouble to the foot of the old rugged cross. You want to see trouble? You want to see pain? Just carry it to the foot of the old rugged cross. Our Lord suffered so terribly that you and I would not have to suffer for all eternity. Ain't that a blessing? Troubled. There's something else in verse number 15 that I circled in my Bible this morning. For all things the Word of God said are for your sakes. Somebody tell me what those next two words are. Brother Steve, you think abundant grace is abundant today? I do too, brother. The day after the election, there'll still be grace that's abundant. Grace for every trial. Grace for every mile. God said it's abundant, abundant grace. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God I have that in my heart. The day after the election, many things may change, but I thank God for these things that will not. Look at verse 16. I'm almost finished. The Word of God said here, for which cause we faint not. The day after the election, there's going to be people that are fainting, and there's going to be people that faint not. Listen to me carefully. This will help you right here. David said this. David, the man after God's own heart, he said, I had fainted. Anybody know the verse? Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The man after God's own heart said, if it hadn't have been able for me being able to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fell by the wayside. I would have fainted. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's going to help us. Amen. He's helped us before. He'll help us through. And he'll help us after the election. If you'll look in verse number 18, the Bible said, while we look. You know what the secret of it is? Look in verse 17. Paul said, our light affliction. Now, sometimes when you use the word our, you're talking about a group of people. And I'm not trying to take issue with the Word of God, but I believe what Paul was talking about here was personal. Our light affliction. In other words, he wasn't talking about the affliction of the people at Corinth. He was talking about himself having been shipwrecked, having been thrown outside the city, let down over the wall in a basket, left outside the city for dead. They believe that's when he had that vision, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. I, such a one as Paul, was caught up into the third heaven. I saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Beaten. Perils of countrymen. Perils among false brethren. Jail. Prison. Stocks. The Apostle Paul was a man every way he turned. Every way he turned, he found himself in trouble. But you know what? He said, our light affliction. How is that possible? How is it possible that the Apostle Paul did not get to the place that Jeremiah got to when he said, I'm not going to speak in his name anymore? How is it possible that the Apostle Paul did not get to the place that so many, not only in this life, but in this Bible, got to? Elijah, sitting down under a juniper tree. Oh, I just wish I was dead. How is it possible? I'm going to tell you the same way it's possible for you and I to make it without fainting, without getting to that place. The same way we can call it light affliction. Here's what the Word of God said. For we look not at the things which are seen. You look at the things which are seen, honey, you'll be so sick you'll want to vomit every day of your life. But if you'll look up at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the Word of God said, are eternal. The day after the election. I don't know about you, but by the grace of God, I'm still going to be looking up at the things which are not seen. Amen. This verse you put up there, Brother Steve, this morning, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe in a strong military, but if that's where your trust is, you're in trouble. I believe, listen, it's wonderful when the stock market's going in the right direction, but if that's where your trust is, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible said right in the middle of this chapter, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Our treasure's not in silver. Our treasure's not in gold. Our treasure's not in the stock market. Our treasure's not in our pocketbook. Our treasure's in our heart, and our treasure is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's where our treasure is. Somebody said this, and I think it's good, Brother Kenny. Brother Kenny, would you like to feel rich sometime? Would you? Okay. Just start counting all the things that you have that money can't buy. I believe Jerry Jane loves you. I don't know why, but I believe she does. How many knows you can buy a woman, but you can't buy a woman's love? Say amen. Whole lot of things you can buy in this world. But we have a treasure this morning. The songwriter said, I found a treasure when I found Jesus. He gives me pleasure that the world cannot give. And though I'm a beggar, I'm rich beyond measure. I found a treasure when I found the Lord. If I get to preach in heaven, I'll sing that in the middle of the sermon. But for right now, I want at least 5 more minutes of your attention. Don't want you to leave on me, so I won't sing. God bless you. A treasure. Watch this now in verse number 1 of chapter number 5. The Word of God said, we know. How many of y'all know? How many of y'all know that if you breathe your last breath today, you have a building of God, eternal in the heavens? not made with hands. Do you know that? Do you know how many people in this world don't have any idea? If they died today, they don't have any idea that heaven would be their home. I'm telling you, beloved, today God is merciful. The day after the election, God will still be merciful. He's a merciful God. He loves you today. If He's speaking to your heart today, I beg you, please don't turn Him away. I had a pastor, he's not a pastor, he's a preacher friend. His name is Brother Jimmy Nichols. Brother Jimmy texted me yesterday, and I'm sure it was the text that he sent out probably to a lot of people that he has contact with. He said, starting Monday morning, I'll be fasting and I'll be praying for our country until 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And he said this, he said, if for health reasons you can't fast for that period of time, he said, would you please consider at least one meal just to push back from the table and say, God, there's more, something more important than my belly right now. There's a nation that's at a crossroads. Somebody help me. And I believe with all of my heart, the Lord put it on my heart to mention that, because I believe right here in this building there's some people that will do that. They will say, God, I got youngins. I got grand youngins. I love freedom. I love America. No one, the girls, Charity had mentioned that to me, and I had forgotten all about it. I didn't know they were going to sing it this morning. No one asked me to pick up the flag. And no one asked you all to stand up. But I want to say this. I believe patriotism and worship go hand in hand. The Word of God said, in everything give thanks. I thank God for that flag. I thank God for that flag. And I thank God for this book. And I thank God for His people. Y'all are precious to me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Beloved, it's not us. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. I'm so glad it's still all about Him. How many's glad you come this morning?